welcome to the Tavern the Taketh Warriors podcast. This is the old tavern owner, aka Roy Gem, and we're operating from the physical tavern somewhere in a secret bunker in central Maryland. But with me is Jay Chi from Tavern Studio Jeju Island. Welcome back, Jay.
Hey.
And from Tavern Studio Chicago, we have Michael Welch.
What's up?
Hey. So this is an interesting, I think it's an interesting scoreless draw with Bolivia. This is the last public World Cup tune-up that Korea has engaged in before they go into the World Cup 2018 in Russia. There is one more friendly to come, and that's going to be next Monday against Senegal, but it is a closed-door friendly. More on that later. So there's a couple ways you could describe today's friendly World Cup result. It looked like another Shin Tae-yong experiment. He did go revert back from the 3-5-2 to the 4-4-2. However, while we didn't concede, the against a maybe a C team or maybe a B team, Bolivia, it wasn't their A team. The A team, Bolivia, is the one that had, I think, gotten some good results against Argentina and even Brazil. This edition of Bolivia is very young, it's very untested, and it lost to the Americans by a score of 3-0, all three goals scored by Americans. No goals scored by Team Korea in this time around, as many analysts had been, I guess, perhaps expecting. Let's get some quick takeaways. I'm going to go to Jay since we haven't had your honorable presence in quite a while. Any kind of like initial takeaway that you got from this particular match? Anything that struck out at you?
Honestly, not really. I kind of went into this one just because of kind of the circumstances surrounding it. Just kind of, it was, I don't know, it's hard to describe because I was just like, you know, it was kind of meaningless to me because like it wasn't going to be like an actual, like a proper test for the World Cup opposition. Shin Tae-yong obviously wasn't going to play, you know, probably the starting 11 that we'll see at the World Cup. So it was just kind of, it was really just pointless. And I mean, full honesty, I didn't even watch the second half. I just watched the first half and I switched it off.
Okay, fair enough. Michael, anything that struck at you about this match?
I think the one thing that I liked was that the four at the back was good. I saw a lot of moments where their spacing looked good, their organization was good, and it just seemed like they were much more assured in what they were supposed to be doing defensively. Like, there was a point in the first half where I saw a Bolivian player was sort of in space for a through ball, but the organization was good enough that Kim Sung-yeon was able to rotate over and block that through ball, and so the resulting shot was really weak. But it's just sort of like, you felt like last week that type of organization just wasn't there against Bosnia. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have that kind of cohesiveness and understanding of where everyone's supposed to be. But with this back four, they did. And everyone knew what their job was in the defense, and that looked really good. In terms of offense, it seemed like everyone was trying to do something, and they were trying too hard at it, and it just wasn't coming off at all.
Or maybe perhaps they were rushing. But I'm going to throw this back at, and those are good observations, and I largely agree with you, Michael. Let me throw this back at Jay, who's been our official tavern tactician for all these many years that we've been alive and around. The 4-4-2 was used against Honduras. The 3-5-2 was used against Bosnia. And we went back to the 4-4-2. And, even though the offense was not very prolific, they conceded no goals. Is there a legitimate pattern you can make or discern from the 4-4-2 that clogs up all the lanes for the Bolivians and the Hondurans before them?
Well, I mean, I guess, I mean, you have to sort of issue a little caveat that, I mean, Bolivia and Honduras were, are significantly weaker attacking-wise than Bosnia-Herzegovina was.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think a lot of it's probably just familiarity. I think, you know, the players that are in it are more comfortable in a traditional back four. Because I think, if I remember, after the Bosnia game, I think Shin Tae-yong did criticize the two outside starting center backs, and he told the, I think he said something along the lines of that he had wanted them to play like fullbacks and play wider, but they kept drifting inwards, and that was part of the issue. Because I think the idea with that 3-5-2 is that it's supposed to be fairly similar to the 4-4-2, with Ki Sung-young sort of rotating and the back three kind of stretching left to right to kind of compensate for the wing backs when they push forward, but it didn't. They're not really well, they're not familiar enough with what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to move to kind of connect it all. Sure. So it didn't really work.
And there, I think Ki Sung-young had mentioned to the press that they may have had like maybe 2 or 3 days to put this in play, and they're essentially playing out of position in a unfamiliar role.
Yeah, and that's what makes Shin Tae-yong's insistence on keeping trying this 3-5-2 so confusing, is that it's clearly the players aren't used to it. They don't have enough, they haven't, or it doesn't seem like they will have enough time to get used to it. So why is he throwing it out there just to play, you know, mind games with, you know, the group stage opposition scouts? Like, oh, maybe they'll play a 3-5-2. Maybe they won't. Who knows? So it's kind of a strange thing that you keep sticking with it.
Yeah, the thing about, like, playing mind games with the opposition scouts for our group stage opponents is, like, I would imagine that at this point they're like, I want them to play a 3-5-2. That sounds good to me.
Hmm. Let me switch gears a little bit. I guess some people are going to look at this game and call it a miserable game in that Korea's offense, one, didn't score any goals. They didn't produce any. They had 7 shots, I believe, a couple on target, but just weren't able to string enough together to look dynamic or cohesive or meaningful. Son Heung-min was rested. I mean, we didn't talk about the experimental starting 11, but notably Son Heung-min and Lee Jae-sung were rested for this. So, you know, perhaps as you say, Jay, you know, that's what kind of leads us to giving a shrug of the shoulder about this particular game. What got a lot of attention was the fact that reporters found out that there was a heavy conditioning workouts happening right before this match. And that may have led to sluggishness. It may have led to some uncharacteristically bad passing. What can we make of this? Is this just bad, you know, managerial decisions in terms of how to prepare for a World Cup tournament?
Well, I don't think... Well, I mean, it's something that I think ultimately we'll have to see how it plays out, because, I mean, it's worth noting this is just a warm-up match. I mean, there's no, other than, you know, the negative headlines or potentially angry netizens.
There's no consequence, I mean,
there's no consequence for not being fully fit for this one.
Sure.
And I know the players have admitted as much, you know, after the match that, you know, they weren't, you know, fully fit. I know Shin Tae-yong is sort of slightly aggravating people because he's again saying, like, you know, it's good that we're not completely fit yet, because, you know, maybe then we won't be at the right point at the World Cup. So he's, at least he's saying sort of the right thing in that he's trying to get this squad to peak at the right time in terms of fitness and conditioning. And he realizes that that's, you know, in, you know, a week or so when we kick off against Sweden. I mean, clearly it wasn't good for this game, but whether that's actually important or matter or affects the long run and when it really matters. I guess we'll have to see.
Michael, you talked off air that you wanted to talk about Lee Chung-young. He was dropped from the squad, the 23-man squad. Why did you want to bring him up?
So I think that, like, when he was called into the camp for this roster, we all were really surprised because he had made, you know, you could count the amount of substitute appearances over the season with Crystal Palace that he'd made on your hands. Sure. He hadn't played a lot of minutes and he hadn't gotten a lot of time. So he was naturally going to be pretty rusty, may not be at the full game fitness that you'd want to be.
But he's a veteran.
It sort of showed. He didn't really play very well. He picked up a knock in the first match. He couldn't even play the second one. And then he gets cut from the World Cup roster, and Shin Tae-yong sort of backs it up and says, yeah, he hadn't been playing enough, and it really showed, and that's why we cut him. And it just sort of struck me as really nonsensical, because it seems like if you're the coach of the national team, you should already know that. You should already know that he hasn't been playing. He hasn't been, you know, first choice for a long time at Crystal Palace. So how would you think that he's going to be, you know, ready to go on a friendly just right off the bat? So it struck me as a really head-scratching decision, and it sort of came at the expense of players that were match fit and had been playing a lot at the club level. So it just seemed like the reserve list just really had no meaning at this point.
Well, let me bring that up, because you know, in light of you know, there's not much to talk about with Kim Shin-wook. Everybody that saw the game could see that. Okay, yeah, he's tall, he's in the center, but you know, the most he could do really was to try to knock the ball in with his head. We've seen this before. There's not much else to discuss in terms of how not quite as it's not quite as effective as one could hope for with a center target man. Could Sukun Jun, I mean, I'm going to raise the issue again. Could Sukun Jun or dare I say, Ji Dong-won, who's not exactly tall, but he's another attacking option, could have been brought in. Or does it speak to the, you know, the lack of depth or perceived depth that Shin Tae-young feels, you know, when looking at his options?
It feels like when you select Kim Shin-wook, like, you're thinking that you really need a tall target man. And so you're saying, well, the one on the Korean, you know, player pool that really fits that description is Kim Shin-wook. But Suk Kyung-jun and Ji Dong-won, well, they're not as tall as him. They offer similar qualities, and they just have more speed and work rate than Kim Shin-wook seems to have.
They may have more... Perhaps they may have more in their lockers.
Yeah, it just always looks like when Kim Shin-wook is, like, on the field trying to do something, it just looks labored. He looks a little bit clumsy. He's not really sure of his footing. And so you just see a lot of missed touches or just taking too long to develop a play. And it just seems like when you watch Suk Kyung-jun, he's running around a lot more. He's hustling a lot harder. And he's covering a lot more ground. And maybe he's not the same aerial threat, but he has a lot more in his locker in terms of, like, shooting from outside of the box, knowing how to make an intelligent run, and being able to also score that header as well. And it's just the same thing with Ji Dong-won. They both could have been really good options. And in this match, I'm sure they would have had more to bring.
Jay, what's your take on... I guess because we didn't get to hear from you the last couple of podcasts. Do you have any strong feelings about the roster 23-man finalization? Because that actually happened just recently, and you know, Sukun Jun and Ji Dong-won both didn't get their chance here. Do you have any strong feelings about that in this regard? It's too late, obviously, but.
Honestly, not really. Probably the only one I don't, it's kind of opposite to what a lot of people do, but I don't really have that strong feelings about Suk Kyung-jun. Just I know, like, on paper and with his club, he's generally you know, obviously superior option to Kim Shin-wook. But whenever I watch him with the national team, he's never really impressed me, if I'm honest. So I know there's a lot of people who are like, Suk Hyun-jun would be like the prop, like our golden bullet or silver bullet solution. But like, when I think about it, like, the problem is Suk Hyun-jun better than Kim Shin-wook? Probably yes. But it's when you put him on the field or on the pitch with Son Heung-min and Hwang Yi-chan or whoever, does that work? And then I start to think, not really sure if it does, if I'm honest. So, like, I think I understand, like, that, like, Kim Shin-wook is inferior in terms of being a forward, but he's maybe slightly on paper more compatible if you're going to play that traditional big man, smaller mobile forward combo, even though how good he is at it is another question.
Yeah.
Because I think at this point, the attack is clearly going to be focused through Son Heung-min. And it feels like I think maybe with Suk Hyun-jun, maybe it's too crowded and they're going to want to take the same spaces again. But I would have taken probably Ji Dong-won instead of Moon Sun-min.
Yes. Moon Sun-min, he had his start and it didn't look like the deficits that we had been talking about all this time at the tavern came out in this particular start. You know, he had good work rate, but his touches just really betrayed him. So it's just puzzling. And this is the guy that hasn't had any caps up to this point, you know, until it got called up. Let me stay on Kim Shin-wook just real quick for two separate things. One is that you might agree with me. It looked like when we were generating some offensive potential chances on goal, we were dominating possession. We were trying to, you know, thread the ball into that final third. There was something that clogged up, you know, the middle, and it looked like Kim Shin-wook. Tell me if I'm wrong. Am I wrong in assessing that in the flurry of the passing, the weak link and the weak cog in all this that slowed everything down was Kim Shin-wook? Am I right, or am I imagining things?
No,
unfairly targeting.
I would agree with that. No, it is true, because unfortunately his link up play is subpar, especially when it comes to his feet.
So we have. I mean, I didn't want to interrupt you, but like you were saying, that the link up play, it immediately brought to mind. You know, you have Lee Sung Woo coming from that Barcelona tradition. He's doing his best to try to create things, and he's given he's got these good great give and goes. And then suddenly something stalls. And again, with my poor stream, I just thought, it's got to be the Wookiee.
Yeah, well, so you actually brought up a really good point there. So Lee Sung-woo comes from Barcelona, and he's all about fast passing.
Yeah.
Just sort of keeping everything moving and interplay and one-touch passing and everything. And I think, actually, you brought up a really good point. I think the Wookiee gets him off rhythm.
So the tempo also...
He's going somewhere, and the ball doesn't come back to him, and he's just used to it coming back to him because that's where it always came back to him at Barcelona. And I feel like it's the same sort of thing. Like, Hwang Yi-chan is also getting off rhythm, and he's sort of trying to push things too much or whatever. I just felt like the rhythm wasn't there today.
Okay.
Like, there was some starting moves, but then there wasn't enough cohesion to finish them. And it seemed like everything just wasn't really coming together as it should.
So, Jay, let me get back to you then. Is the master plan, in your mind, something more akin to he wanted a double check that Kim Shin-wook was just not going to work out. And then the real combo could be more like, you know, Sung Hyun-min and Lee Sung-woo.
All right, well, let me address a couple of things. I think, yes, definitely Himshinu did clog stuff. But I think as far as it relates to Isung Woo, I think that's true for pretty much everyone on the national team, except for maybe Ichesung. Because none of the traditional kind of, if you will, you know, feel and playing style of Korean teams is slow, if we're honest. It's it's very slow. And so I don't think there's anyone that can really match Isung Woo's, you know, passing rate and his ability to control the ball on this national team. Because even, you know, if you think about the better players like Son Heung-min or Ki Sung-young, again, you know, Son Heung-min is very direct. He's very vertical. Ki Sung-young is usually with the Korean team, especially he slows things down. He tries to, you know, switch his stuff around. And so I think the Isung Woo thing is a little different issue, but I think if there's time, we could get into that later.
Sure.
I do think Kim Shin-ok is a plan B at this point. I think his plan going forward is a Son Heung-min, Hwang Ki-chan two top.
Yeah. Okay.
But as I said in when we did our preferred 11s, this was mine came out like right after the provisional squad came out, so okay. It's a little different now. But yeah, my preferred 11 starting attack is still Son Heung-min and Isung Woo as a two top.
Yeah.
Isung Woo's completely wasted as a wide midfielder.
Yeah, I remember you saying that on Twitter, I think, and I thought it didn't occur to me until then, and I thought that's not a bad combo. When they were paired, they were pairing up pretty nicely in the Honduras game, if I'm not mistaken. There's potential in that. I wonder if Kim Shin-wook would, or rather, Shin Tae-young is going to consider that, but we can only speculate. I want to move on real quick. Last point about Kim Shin-wook was I was surprised to see him playing so deeply at times. And I wonder, I can only speculate that Shin Tae-young is really wanting to give as much cover to and as much additional you know, reinforcements to the defense as possible, including bringing their center forwards all the way back, all the way completely back and suffocating any Bolivian attacks. Is any larger trend that we can see going into Russia? We're going to see this something similar to this against Sweden and Mexico.
Well, I think so. I think it's going to be very important for against like so probably all three of the teams that you know Korea, you know the offensive players you know, do when they have to drop back and do the you know the old compact. You know, two banks of four and the center forwards, you know, in our half, you know, to help break up any passing from the defense out back. So I'm sure there is something in it that, you know, Shin Tae-young wants his forwards to, you know, recognize that they have to also sacrifice and drop deep to help defend also at times.
Then what we haven't seen yet, and maybe we won't get to see it in Senegal, but we may be seeing a completely different identity than the attacking football we've seen in all three of these matches we've seen so recently with Honduras, Bosnia, and Bolivia, that we're going to see ultra defensiveness and only chance scoring opportunities on the counter.
See, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Is that his secret ace up the sleeve in terms of this, whatever this secretness that he's trying to put out there?
See, I actually wouldn't have. I like that idea, honestly, because if you look at the what Shin Tae-young thinks his best 11 is, it's a lot of pace. He thinks that Isung Woo is one of his best 11. He thinks Hwang Ki-chan is also one of his best 11. He thinks Son Heung-min is part of that. He's probably going to play Ichesung, and he also has pace. If you decide that you're going to defend and sort of contain the offense of the other of your opponent, and then break
and spring,
you have to break with pace.
Yeah.
And no one has more pace than Isung Woo. No one has more lightning pace than Son Heung-min. So it's not a bad idea, actually. Like I'm hearing you say it, I'm like, that's not a bad idea at all.
And the piggyback off of that, Steve Hahn had recorded that on Twitter that the team did a race and Sun Heung-min beat everybody. He won the race. It's interesting. He's the fastest among the Korea squad. Let's segue a tiny bit to... This was an intra-Korea dispute between Sung Heung-min and Jung Woo-young. Did anybody catch that? I didn't catch it, but the replay showed that something happened on a free kick that Sun was yelping at Jung Woo-young, and he gave something right back at him. And supposedly the KFA was trying to do their... I don't know, some kind of PR campaign to say there was no fighting that happened. But you could clearly see something happened on replays.
So, like, I saw this report, and it didn't really, like, faze me because I'm sort of like, when you're having a frustrating game,
yeah,
like, these type of things happen between teammates. You know, you're struggling to grind out a goal. You can't find one against an opponent. You're really dominating for possession, you're creating chances, you're getting shots off, and nothing's working. I think these things happen. And it's definitely can be said that Son Heung-min's putting a lot of pressure on himself, and I think he's also probably holding his teammates to really high standards. And that might not be the best for team chemistry, but that happens when the game's not going well. When the game is going well, it's all smiles. So I think that it's sort of something that you just saw because it was a really bad match for them and they were all really frustrated.
Mm. Jay, what do you think? I mean, is this something that would be easily forgotten, or is there a larger team dynamic chemistry issue that's at play?
I think it'll probably be one of those things that's forgotten. It's one of those things that always pops up with Korea. And that is that kind of hierarchical age stuff that happens within the squad. And so, of course, Jung Woo-young is, of course, a few years older than Sun Heung-min. And so I don't know how strict or traditional Jung Woo-young is when it comes to, you know, the Hyung Dong-sang, Sunbae Hubei kind of stuff. So if Sun did pop off at the mouth and say something that is considered inappropriate from that standard, I don't know. I don't know if Jung Young's the type that will be like, you know, whatever, move on, or if he'll sort of hold it on him. Well, I don't know. I didn't see it because, like I said, I switched off the second half. But
I've seen
the reports of it. Uh-huh. I've seen the reports of it and some of the pictures that, you know, made it onto the internet. And ultimately, I think it'll be nothing. But
yeah, for now, it's clickbait for those of us. But let me quick 20-second question to you, Jay. You've seen kids play football in Korea. Is this age hierarchy thing an issue on the playfield in youth games?
Well, I mean, the thing about youth games, of course, is usually they're all pretty much, you know, the same age. They obviously youth always groups them.
Oh, that's true.
So
yeah, age brackets.
It's not usually an issue.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know. Especially within sports, the hierarchical thing is still very much alive, and you know, especially some of the older players still very much expect it. So I don't know how they, you know, kind of fit that in on the pitch. I know it's not as extreme, but I don't know, because like since it's come up as also kind of the one thing I sometimes worry a little about with Lee Seung Woo is, you know, now that he's out of, you know, the age bracket thing on the senior with the Hyungs, that is he going to kind of, you know, tone it down where he might, you know, try to take more players on and make stuff happen, or he'll try just to, you know, pass it off to Sun Heung-min or to whoever just because it's like, oh, you know, I can't be, you know, the
flashy
the main
player.
Point as the flashy, you know, ball hog who's going to try to, you know, make it all happen. You know, I have to, you know, some meaning is, you know, he's, you know, older or someday I should make sure he has his chances or whatever. I don't know.
And give him service. Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. I think to be determined, and I think we'll all be, that'd be one thing that I want to try to keep an eye on and see if that kind of thing is developing or not. The tavern producer is telling me to start wrapping things up. We've covered quite a number of, I think, interesting points about the game and got as much as we can, I think, from a scoreless draw result from a meaningless World Cup friendly. But I want to end on a positive note. And this is a positive question mark note, because I don't know if I'm seeing things correctly here. Park Ju-ho on the left wing and Lee Yong on the right, both seem to be doing well, moving the ball up the field and getting in some good footwork to be able to keep advancing up the field on their respective sides and getting in the crosses. Was I seeing things, or did they check all the good marks for you in terms of you know, balling it down the flanks and crossing it as accurately as possible? And if so, then we've got some. It's not all bad news from this particular result or this particular performance.
Lee Young's crosses were actually pretty poor.
Oh, you thought they were poor? Okay, maybe I'm just zeroing in the one that he got on target with Kim Shin Wook. But otherwise, it was poor. You thought?
Well, I'm remembering he was one where I guess it was Moon Sun Min like played him through, and he has like acres of space. There was no challenge, completely uncontested cross, and he just completely overhit it over everyone, and it was just,
you know what? I remember that.
If you can't even get that one on, it's like, geez.
Yeah.
Maybe it was me. But I just remember the crossing as always was subpar.
Okay.
It seems like they always get overhit, but I think Yeong did well, you know, to get up and down, and he got in good positions, and Park Ju-ho looked good as a left back, as he normally does. And so
back to his old position, which is fun.
Yeah, it's always worth remembering that it is his original position.
Yes. You know,
we've kind of pushed him into, oh yeah, we should be the partner for Ki Sung-yong in mm-hmm. midfield. But I think if we're going to play this for a four-man line, then Yeong and Park Ju-ho is easily our best fullback option.
Wow. Okay, quickly then, between Go Yohan and Yeong, especially now that you said that Yeong's crosses weren't very good today, save for the one that he got to Kim Shin-wook's head, would you rate Go Yohan then? Because he didn't play too badly from what my recollection against Honduras on the right back.
Yeah, Go Yohan is a good player, and he has a little bit more stamina and speed than Yeong does, but the thing is that he's a little bit of a smaller player, so there could be that worry that he might get bullied off the ball a little bit.
Oh.
But in terms of like what Jay was saying about the crossing, like, at this point, I'm just like, keep it on the ground, folks. Like, you haven't shown us that you really have that accuracy on your crossing. And then also, it's not like we have that many aerial threats. Really, the only true aerial threat in the roster is Kim Shin-wook, but we don't even know if he will start.
Right.
So I think that, like, the better way to sort of play it is sort of keep it on the ground and then work with those overlaps, bring it back into space. Just sort of, play fast on the ground and just try to make that
cut
work.
Maybe cut inside and then try to play the ball towards the middle.
Yeah, really the crossing isn't working.
Mm-hmm. But so, Jay, good observation there. Jay, what's your assessment? Is Go Yohan too small for that? Or?
I'm not positive, but I want to say that Go Yohan feels more like a wingback to me. So he feels like he offers more going forward, but he's slightly more vulnerable going back. But I think it's not
better
I think it's kind of, they're fairly even, so it's, they kind of shade each other one way or the other by a point or two.
Okay.
So I don't think it's a massive difference, but I guess I just, my personal gut reaction is that if it's a four back, I prefer Guillaume there than Goyohan.
Okay. Well, we are going to conclude, but what I get from maybe both of you is that, you know, a lot of netizens are wringing their hands. I'm not there yet. It was disappointing that we weren't able to break the deadlock. But at the same time, Shin Tae-yong, he just doesn't seem to be managing at least the PR game correctly. Because a lot of people are just a little shaky about his managerial style. And yet, to counterpoint that, he is the manager that has brought both the U20 and the Olympic squad through tough groups and brought them, advanced them out of their groups. What was it in the Olympics? It was almost similar to what the World Cup lineup was, right? Mexico, Germany, and I forget who the other one was. New Zealand? But
No. It was an island, I can't remember. It was a small nation that had never qualified for the Olympics before.
Okay, so minnow country, but I'm right. Germany and Mexico was in that group, right? And they were able to advance. And that's of course not the World Cup, but you know, if Shin Tae-yong is good on his word of where, you know, somebody chose Shin Tae-yong because he's a quote-unquote specialist at getting out of, advancing their teams out of the group stage. Well, let's cross our fingers on that. All right, here it is. Our tavern tradition, last call. Jay, you're up first.
I want to be, slightly hopeful about this group. I mean, it feels like, it's so stacked against us in terms of the quality of the opposition for our group stage that, if as long as we put in, respectable showings, then we can walk away, fairly happy. It'd be nice to get out, but I mean, it's going to be a hell of a job to do. So mm-hmm. I think through the friendlies, there've been a lot of frustrating points, but I think, some positives have come out. Isamu has stepped into the senior squad fairly well. And, yeah. Sun Heung-min has been okay, and Ki Sung-young has been solid, and he's saying a lot of good things. His quote about that came out after the game about, feeling like a liar because of, that he said the team would do well and, make people proud, and all of a sudden they're not. And so that was kind of sad, but
yeah, they were actually. If I may quote, take the exact quotes. From Ki Sung-young, during qualifying, made a promise to our fans, we'll be better. I feel like I've turned out to be a liar. It's been so difficult. I'm going to put everything on the line. If things go wrong in the World Cup, I'll be responsible for it. And the strong words. And he got a lot of good goodwill from the a lot of Korean netizens for that.
Yeah, I think it's sort of refreshing, I guess, to see that kind of honesty out of him. I mean, Ki Sung has always been fairly free to speak his mind kind of personality, but I guess because of his past and his personality, maybe it's a little bit kind of refreshing to see a very kind of mature, I guess, for lack of a better word, response from him, and owning up that the team hasn't been as good, and Koreans always like it when people take responsibility for faults and failings so they can blame someone.
And hopefully no yutz this time, but all right. Going to Michael.
Speaking before Michael, sorry.
Yeah.
Before that, I was just reading, I was just glancing at an article about the Sun Heung-min and Jung Woo-young thing, and they were talking to An Jung-won about it, and they quoted him. They said that he's just kind of speaking generally about the team. He said that in the past that, the national team has always, gotten, kind of cursed out and criticized. And he says he feels like that this team is maybe getting cursed out more or experiencing more criticism. So
interesting.
So he was kind of pleading for them to, you know, just, you know, ignore, you know, all the netizens and the comments and the hate and just focus on their preparation for the World Cup. And
yeah,
if they do that, then that's what they should be doing. Is
words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. All right, cool.
And FYI, Roy, it was Fiji in the group.
Oh, so, thank you. Fiji, yes. And you were, Michael, you're right. There were islands. Ah, all right. I don't know how I forgot about that. All right, cool. Let's get last call for Michael.
So, like, when you talk about a tournament, usually you're saying you're building towards something. And at this point, I do not know what Shin Tae-yong is building. But I'm just really hoping that it's something good. I think that today he built a decent defense. He found a goalkeeper that was sort of, you know, in Kim Seung-yu confident again. And he just has to put his first choice attack out there and see if it can, you know, wreak havoc. Because I think that he has the pieces there. And maybe he was being tricky and trying not to show them or whatnot. But I hope he's building something nice and something that we'll enjoy. And that's sort of my hopeful take on it, because that's what you do at a tournament. You're not going to start off amazing. You're going to get to the camp. You're going to get ready. You're going to prepare. And hopefully you peak at the right time. And I hope that his track record as a good tournament coach helps him to do that with this team as well.
Excellent. My last word is basically, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Low expectations is actually not a bad thing. It could be a blessing in disguise. It could take a little bit of the pressure off Korea in some weird fashion. And I think it allows, I think, hopefully everybody to have a more future-forward focus, you know, beyond the World Cup. You've got Lee Sung-woo. If he has a great performance, scores, you know, two goals, let's say, gets in some great highlight reel videos that catches a lot of people's attention. I think that could maybe even, you know, have a whole new generation of Korean kids look up to that, be inspired, maybe even take it up football and you know, give it a go. I think I'm looking towards the future. And, you know, I see Park Sang-ho, I see, you know, Lee Kang-in and all these guys that are, I think, bright players that I'm looking forward to seeing how they do in the future. So I'm having a future-forward focus, and I'm going to have fun at the World Cup no matter what. So I'm really, really psyched everybody was able to join us. And I hope you got something out of today's podcast. Stay tuned for more from the Tavern of the Taekook Warriors at taekookwarriors.com. And from wherever in the world you're listening to, Doboja and Chagayo.